Last week here at church, it was Good Shepherd Sunday. Jesus was the Good Shepherd, and we were the sheep of his flock. Well, this week, the image shifts, and now Jesus says that he is the vine, and we are the branches, and there is pruning and fruit growing going on. Last week, we were in the fields with the sheep and the shepherd, and this week, we're in the vineyard with the grapes, the vines, and the gardener. Now, I am not a gardener at all. I know very little about plants, flowers, vegetables, any of it. I don't have a garden, and I don't really want one. The landscaping that we do have requires a bare minimum amount of maintenance, and even that I don't keep up with. I'm happy to mow the lawn and to rake the leaves, but the art of tending a garden escapes me. So every time this passage comes around, I learn something new. And those of you who are gardeners will know much of this already, but maybe there are some other non-gardeners like me here and you will learn as well. The metaphor Jesus gives us is a vine with branches and the pruning that is required to encourage not just the growth of the vine, but more importantly, the fruit that will grow on it. Pruning, I have learned, is not just cutting out the dead branches, but it's removing certain healthy branches so that other branches may flourish. In order to prune a grape tree, the vine grower needs to first examine all the branches, choosing the ones which are inhibiting or in the way of the healthiest branches, which will bear the healthiest grapes. Sometimes this is determined by the direction in which the branch is growing, or sometimes with the size and the shape of the branch. And then the vine grower carefully and by hand cuts the branches away. And it takes about 6 to 8 years for a new grape tree that's planted to begin to produce grapes for wine. It takes patience. I happened across a landscaping show on TV recently, and the host was talking about how to prune a crabapple tree. What I learned was that the purpose of the pruning is to make the branches less dense so that the light can get all the way into the trunk of the tree, into the middle of the tree, to help it grow. He also used a word which surprised me. He was always mindful that the way they cut off the branch had to be done in a way so that the tree could heal. Heal, he said it over and over. The long-term health of the tree required a short-term pain. Pruning, I know now, involves cutting off pieces of a plant to make room for future growth, or to channel its growth in a certain direction so that the plant can focus its energies on growth that will be more robust, more aesthetically pleasing, or produce more fruit. If a tree or a shrub is not properly pruned, it will grow so full of itself that it will become unhealthy and will not produce the fruit or the flower it's meant to produce, and eventually it will die. So keep all this in mind and listen again to the gospel lesson. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it can bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches." I think there are three things going on here. Pruning, and remaining, and bearing fruit. So first, pruning. There are all sorts of things that need to be pruned. all sorts of things that can sap the strength and vitality and energy of a congregation. Unresolved conflicts, fears and anxieties, even that old, but we've always done it that way, mentality. All of those things are not necessarily healthy for the growth, and so some of that needs to be removed. Remember years ago when we removed the front pews here in the church? There was nothing wrong with them. They were perfectly healthy pews, but the then new handbell choir and the large number of children in worship required that we do some pruning here. We may also need to do some personal pruning as well. Perhaps you need to remove or have removed something from your life so that you can thrive in another area. Perhaps you choose a certain job so that you can have more time at home. Or perhaps you leave a relationship because it is squashing your other relationships. And yes, this can be painful. Healing is often a painful process, but it is life-giving and it's life-sustaining, this process which needs to be undertaken. And with great care and love, the master gardener himself will do this. He will prune the plants and shrubs in his garden. And it is his garden. It's not ours, so that we will bear fruit, which is worthy of his name. Helpful here is that the word for prune is the same as the word for cleanse. There's something about pruning that is like being cleansed. The second point of this passage has to do with remaining. And for Jesus, this is about remaining attached to him. Jesus, the vine, and the followers, the branches, must remain attached. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. In the Jewish tradition of Jesus' day, the vine was a picture of Israel. We hear of it all through the Psalms and in the prophets. And now Jesus is saying that he is the true vine. He is the one on whom God's purposes are now resting. And so his followers are members of God's true people. And if they belong to him and remain in him, they are his. The picture of the vine isn't just a clever illustration about gardening. It is about Jesus and who his people really are, and what is going to happen as a result of our relationship with him. This remaining and abiding was very important to Jesus' friends. Remember, this was Jesus' last lecture before he died, and he worried about what would happen to his friends after he left them. Jesus hadn't come to earth just to spend a few good years sharing wisdom for daily living. No, he wanted to ensure that the relationship that his disciples had with him would survive even after he had died. Jesus' followers are God's true people because we belong to him. The church, indeed, may be the people. We say that all the time, and it's true, but we do not belong to ourselves. We belong to God. The key is in remaining in him, remaining on the vine. So how do we remain in him? That's a question. What does that look like in practice? Well, two things, I think. First, we must remain a people of personal prayer and worship in our private lives. And our personal relationships with Jesus are best nurtured through prayer and reading the Bible. This is how we can be assured that our inmost thoughts and attitudes are being shaped by God's word. And a good start to this is nightly prayer and a daily devotion which comes to your email inbox or on an app that you have on your phone. Second, we must remain in the community that knows and loves him and celebrates him as Lord. And that's the church. There's no such thing as a solitary Christian. We can't go it alone. Our identity as a branch is meaningless apart from the vine. When we abide in the vine, then life has meaning. And when we attempt to stand alone as a branch, we wither. The story goes, and I know I've told this before, and I love it so much, and I can't think of a better illustration. So if you've got one, so I can change out this story next time, let me know. But it's the story about an old man who had once been active in his church, and then after his wife died, he stopped going. And years went by, and he would show up a few times a year, perhaps, and his pastor would visit him occasionally. And then one cold wintry day, the pastor was visiting him in his home, and they were sitting in front of the fireplace having their coffee. And as they chatted, the pastor got up, and he took the fireplace tongs, and he grabbed a small red-hot piece of wood and just placed it outside of the fire at the edge of the hearth. And as their conversation continued, the ember slowly went out. And the man was in church after that. Well, and then there's the third thing from this passage, and that is bearing fruit. Keeping our mind on Christ and loving him more deeply changes us, both as individuals and as a church. And we bear the fruit, then, that is the result of being in Christ: kindness, generosity, patience, and love. We remain on the vine through worship, as we read here and we fellowship together through our own individual prayer and Bible readings, the things we do at home, and then also in lives lived for others. We've got as our little tagline for our church, sharing Christ, changing lives. Folks who are, if you've been around for a while, you've heard that, you know that. But I want to draw your attention to three other things. So we print them on the front of your bulletin. So if you've got one of these at hand, notice that there are three other statements right below sharing Christ. And those statements are, well, how do we go about sharing Christ and changing lives? And these are three ways that we do this in our church. These are the main ways. These are our focus ways. Creating a Christian foundation for families. Well, and that's largely because that's the largest demographic in Groton. And we're all part of a family. So creating a Christian foundation for families helps us in our relationships with our siblings, our parents, our kids, our anyone. So we have a Christian foundation for relating in our families. And then there's learning more about Jesus. And that's remaining in him. That's the abiding on the vine. Remaining, learning more about Jesus, staying connected. And then lastly, living our faith beyond our walls by serving others. Well, that's bearing fruit. That's making sure we don't just keep it all here within our hearts and in our little groups and within our walls. It's got to be shared. And we actually have an opportunity before us to bear even more fruit in a new way. And I want to mention it to you here. Loaves and Fishes, which is the area food pantry over in Devens, has been running a backpack program for years. I don't even know how many years. Do you recall this backpack program has been going on for a long time, and it provides school supplies for families in the area. And as Loaves and Fishes is refocusing their mission on feeding people, on food ministries, they are looking for someone else to own the backpack program, and we are considering it. For years, we have been donating supplies and backpacks. We've been doing this for as long as I can remember. And now we have an opportunity to bear even more fruit and make this program a ministry of our church. As we think and pray and talk about it, it does seem to align with our mission and purpose. At the church council on Wednesday, we started looking into the details of this. So I am curious who in the room was there. If you were in the room, could you stand up? Because you guys know something about this. Look at all these people who were in the room. So they know a little bit more about the details of the backpack program and what this might mean. You all can sit down. But I wanted them to stand so that if you are curious, what does that mean? You can talk to any of them and learn more, because we will be discussing this at our June 3rd, which is our next congregational meeting. So it's an opportunity for us to consider. So there's pruning, there's remaining, and there's bearing fruit. That's what the Christian life looks like: pruning, remaining, and bearing fruit. And I don't think it needs to be too complicated. Perhaps it really is simple. Branches depend on the vine for sustenance, and plants bear fruit. The vine reminds us that we need to live in the Jesus story. We need to hear it, repeat it. We need to know that Jesus' story is our story. Branches are nourished on the vine. God's people are nourished in Jesus Christ and in his church. And fruit is born. Amen.